Well, hello, everybody. The mic is live, and this is episode 128 of the Two Old Bucks. This is Old Buck Dell, and with me is, of course,
Old Buck Dave. Good to hear your voice.
Good to hear your voice, too.
Pretty soon. You're
going to bring me up to speed?
Well, we're old, so the speed's going to be low speed, but I'll do what I can here. Yeah. Last week, the interview with Joel, got a lot of good feedback from listeners on that. Some people say, some people that knew him that listened to it said, oh, yeah, I miss him. Several requests for pictures of the gay hat. And we sent them out. Anybody else out there interested in a picture of the gay hat, let us know. We'll send us an email. We'll send it to you. I think for a pics of Joel, maybe you're going to have to contact his publicist. He's pretty, you know. He's pretty famous, so I don't know. I don't think he's given us permission to send his picture.
His image is probably patented, or what do they call it, copyrighted. Well, that's good. I like Joe. I like talking to him. He's got a good sense of humor.
Yeah, it was fun. That was fun. Looking back a little bit, never forget our interview with Bridie Thielen Heidel. She just let us know that she got a publishing contract for her book, Bright Eyes. The book will be coming out next fall of 2024, that is. So congrats to Bridie. That's terrific. That's great news. I think it's public information now. If it's not, I'll be in trouble soon. I think she's good.
Well, all our listeners probably won't repeat that, or I wouldn't worry too much about that. But, you know, I'm really happy for her. I'm really, really happy for her. Part of her dream there, you know what I mean?
To and put that together. She sent me another podcast. She was interviewed by another podcast.
Wow.
It was a one-hour podcast, so it's at least twice as good as ours, I guess. Twice as a half an hour. And, hey, you know, she's performing off-Broadway on April 1st. We mentioned that previously. I'll put a link if anybody wants to buy streaming tickets. They're around $40.
That was a feel-good story. That was really a good
story.
That was
a good story, yeah. Mm-hmm. So what do you got there, buddy?
I was wondering if you're paying any attention to the baseball rule changes.
I have. I think it's a great idea. What do you think, man?
Well, I do, too. The one that caught me was about increasing the size of the bag.
Increase the size of the bag.
The people that steal to get to it easily or
Well, I guess you get there in a couple nanoseconds sooner, I guess. Plus, it gives you more... they said it's a safety thing, so maybe it just...
It'd be easier to tag or easier to find. I think when we were playing, you know, you really kind of had to look for that where you put your foot down if you were going to, forced out.
Yeah, I never saw second base that often, so I don't know. I never got that far.
Well, what else was there? There was something else about you can't overload the field.
Oh, yeah, they said pitcher has 15 seconds to throw the ball, 20 seconds if there's a runner on base. The batter has 8 seconds to get set. And what was another one? You can't do the shift anymore. You can't shift the infield. You can't have three guys on one side of the infield.
When we're on a known left-hander who consistently will pull the ball. If you throw it slow enough, they can't help but hit it right down to that side. You know, it's interesting too that the timing. I think that clock has made a giant difference for these NCAA games. I watch that all the time. You know, it's just if they time the pitchers, I think it's good to add that.
Yeah, we got the shot clock in basketball. Why not a pitch clock? Yeah, baseball.
Well, let's see.
Baseball, you know, they did this because baseball was just starting to drag on.
Three things. Right, three things. Strikeout, home run, or walk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, how boring
nothing
is that?
Nothing in between. I want to see some action. So I think that's a great thing. Plus you get the game will be over in the same day now. You know?
yeah. I could never sit through a doubleheader. Never. I could never sit through a doubleheader.
Man. I think
especially if the sun changed its position and it got me on the shady side to start with it again, you know. So.
I think anyway,
let's hope the best for that.
Yeah. Speaking of shot clock, what do you think of the NCAA tournament?
Now that, I got to admit, there's a couple of cases, a couple of games, I think Kansas State game and the Miami game. And I think I put my fingers right through the armrests.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I don't know why.
Some great games. Great games.
I don't know why I was so excited about that. I mean, it's like I wonder if people arbitrarily pick a side. Not that I went to school there, not that I, you know, their neighboring school or something like that. You just sort of choose a school.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I'm sitting there rooting for it. And then they're like almost three quarters of the game's gone and they're 34-34. I'm thinking, oh boy. I even gave up on one team. I said, oh, they're not going to make it. And darn it, they didn't come back. And it was a real thriller. So I enjoyed that. In fact, I think there's one on tonight, I think, isn't there? Isn't there a game on tonight?
I'm not sure which tonight this is.
You know, well, that's right.
We're not allowed to say which.
That's true. That's true. Anyhow, I'm speaking about there's still more to be played. This broadcast is before the last final two games.
If there's a game on tonight, I'm going to end this podcast right now and go watch it, baby.
But I really did enjoy NCAA. I thought how the teams, the Cinderella teams that got to the end, the kind of talent that they, you know, put together, and the biggest schools and the normal winners, yep, you know, lost early. So
gone.
All the basketball fans out there, I'd be curious to see who the final two are. So yeah. I'll be there.
You'll be there. Me too. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I had a question for you too.
You have a question for me. Okay.
I saw something about AI and Elon. He made some comments about this artificial intelligence thing.
Yes.
Just as it came on, something distracted me, or I just got the tail end of it. What was that all about? Do you know what he was?
Yeah.
Well,
I do. I've got an. I took an excerpt from the Morning Brew news feed. I can read that here. But basically, you know, this OpenAI, the company, has now introduced chatbot GPT-4. Which is much more powerful than the one that they introduced in December, where we wrote cute little poems and that sort of thing. I think that one had 7 terabytes of information. This is much more. I listened to the CEO of OpenAI, and he said he's not sure what all it can do. And he felt that there was a need to regulate the development. You know, some people say it's an existential threat, and others say, I don't think so. It's just, you know, just turn a switch off. So probably the truth is somewhere in between there. But to your point, Elon and several other tech leaders signed an open letter calling for the developers to, quote, pause giant AI experiments. A petition with which more than 1,000 AI experts have signed warns that artificial intelligence poses, quote, profound risks to society and humanity, and asks AI researchers to put their projects on ice for at least 6 months. That's not going to happen, my opinion. OpenAI.
What was the threat, Dave? What do they consider to be the threat?
Well, I mean, there's lots of potentials here. You know, this stuff can, you know, it can write its own code. It can write software. They've done, when people have done tests with, you know, I think one of them has Bard, Google's is called Bard, and Microsoft has AI and Bing now. You know, they were all tossed out there. I forget which one. I think it was Bard when a reporter was, you know, experimenting with it back and forth. And it went to a very dark place. And it told, you know, and it ended up saying how, you know, they may have a plan to, you know, to take over humanity and that sort of thing. All right. I don't know the exact thing, but it was pretty scary. And again, the CEO of OpenAI says he's not sure what it can do, but it will be able to write its own code, may be able to, to morph into something that we don't know about. You know, it can be doing all sorts of malicious things in the hands of the wrong people. It can be a great tool. You know, it can be a great learning tool. It can be a great science and research tool. It can take the place of a lot of mundane tasks that people do, but it could also, in the wrong hands, do some very bad things. And I think that's
what, sounds like a big butt there, isn't it?
There's a big butt there, yeah. So
remember Hal? Remember Hal?
Hal, yeah, from 2001.
That's what's come to my mind,
sorry,
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I cannot open that for you. I can't let you leave the ship. Why is the door locked now?
Yeah.
Well, that's okay. So that's he sees a you know, he saw a potential danger there. So that's what he was commenting on. Okay, I didn't realize that was all part of a bigger program. So, hey, the one that got me was the one where they can duplicate a picture. Did you see that one? Where the computer just can make look like. I mean, that, yeah. I said, you can believe nothing then. I mean, you know, somebody could be saying, I'm reporting from this this location. It turns out it's all fake. It's all fake.
Oh, absolutely. You can, they can fake anything. They can,
oh boy.
They can tweak. Well, we've already got problems with social media, tweaking, you know, tweaking the news and can, you know, to what you, to what they think you want to hear. So
true. True. Well, isn't that what TikTok amounts to? They show what, I mean, I know they want to ban that. And actually, I would ban it. I thought it should be banned only because it would be so mentally time consuming for teenagers or kids that they could really be corrupted before they had a chance to really, you know, make their own minds up. So you could take something like that platform.
Oh, yeah.
And let these guys, let these AI guy, AI things run with it. And they just figure out what you want to watch. And man, oh days. I wonder where this is all going to end.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that TikTok ought to be banned. There's no way that these guys can convince me, at least, that, oh no, you know, the Chinese government is, we'll see none of this. Like baloney. They will do whatever they want. And they will use, you know, they're in for the, they got the long game, buddy. Not to get real political here, but they're playing the long game. And
yeah, I was thinking about that too. I think, you know, like a couple of old Chinese guy who monitors this stuff, and they're saying to each other, "You can't believe what these people, they scroll down to and watch all day long." So we got to do is feed them this stuff. And, we don't have to bomb them. Then we'll just make them into idiots.
You know, we're knocking their IQ points down every day. Absolutely. We sound like a couple old geezers.
I haven't YouTubed in a long time. You know that I didn't even touch. I just avoid that with a plague because I know I couldn't stop watching that if I get in, especially machine shop stuff. So
you're weak, like me. You're weak.
I had something else I wanted to tell you. Did I tell you I got a little part time work?
You did say that we were not able to get together. You said I got a job I'm doing. So tell me, but you didn't really give me any details other than you were.
I'll give you some details. Now I'll fill you in with the longer version sometime over coffee. But basically. I had sort of retired from my volunteer work around the neighborhood, and I said, you know, maybe I'm still fit enough to do something. And someone says, well, okay, if you want to work a little bit, he said, I'll put you on. And he was doing some remodeling. I know how to do that. You know, I'm pretty comfortable with that.
You're pretty competent, absolutely.
Yeah.
I've seen your work. Yeah.
Now this is a. Our listeners should know where you and I are about to hit the double seven. So I'm still thinking I can do this. And I said, all right, so now this little job is not too close to me, and I have to take, I ride the bus. So I take two buses to get to the job site and walk a little bit. And then everything that has to do with remodeling, I'm in the midst of it. Mm-hmm. And boy, oh boy, am I realizing what a long day that is, number one.
This is like work, right?
You're doing this work. This is like work. Yeah, I'm thinking, and I'm feeling bad for people that got to do this every day because I'm seeing the same people on the bus, and which is a fascinating story in itself. But some of the work that involves getting up, kneeling down, moving up and down, I said, I just cannot do that anymore. So I wonder if all the old Buck listeners and vintage vixens probably can relate to the fact that there are just certain things that I can't do. So fortunately, the person that I'm helping and working with is cognizant of that. And I said, no, no ladders and none of this and that, but I'll do the other little, you know, mundane chores and fetch the tools and get the materials. I'll give you more updates on that maybe over coffee sometime, but just throwing it out there to our listeners that you want an adventure, take the bus someplace. You'll see.
Hey, now that you're rested up from your job, I'm gonna test your brain. How's that sound? I'm gonna do a stump the buck on you. We haven't done stump the buck for a while.
True, we've been this way and that way. Yeah, let's try it. I'll know the answer.
Okay, now I'm looking for it's a thing.
So it will be a thing. It'll be a noun. Right? A person, place, or a thing?
Yeah, a person, place, or thing. It'll be a thing. Okay. Here's the first clue. Hairier than a raccoon dog.
Hairy than a raccoon dog. There's a story right there with the raccoon dog.
Yeah, you know,
dog.
The raccoon dogs, those are the latest designated victims for COVID.
Interbreeding, is that what that is?
Everybody wants one now. They're like a dog fox. They're really cute.
You did send me a picture. Yeah. So the clue again is like a...
Hairier than a raccoon.
Oh, hairier than a raccoon.
Yeah, more body hair than a raccoon.
Boy, that was really a furry creature too. That's real, by the way. If anybody's listening, you could Google that. You'd probably find that.
Raccoon dogs, that's going to be the next hot breed, I'm telling you. Write it down.
Okay.
I need another clue.
Yeah, I need another clue.
Not a bad meatball.
Not a bad meatball.
Bad meatball.
Sounds like a sheep or something.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. You're getting warm. You're getting warm. You're remotely warm.
Your clue. I'm sitting there smiling.
Okay. You ready for the third clue?
Yeah. Give me the third clue.
It's mammoth.
It's mammoth. It's a huge goat creature. Goat cried sheep creature.
I said it's not.
Mammoth.
It's not a bad meatball, but it's mammoth. It's huge. It's mammoth.
Is this was current news?
Yes, absolutely. This is hot off the presses.
Oh, this is hot.
You probably didn't get a chance to read it.
I don't even think I've seen
after
this.
You do your job, you come home and go to sleep.
Is it a live creature? You talking about an animal?
Sorta. Not really, though.
Is it living? Is it a living?
I would say no. It's more a thing. Okay. You get 10 seconds.
I don't know. You better read it and tell me the whole story then. I don't know. You stump me.
Okay. There's an Australian company called VOW, V-O-W, that used publicly available genetic information from a woolly mammoth and implanted it in a sheep cell in the lab. And from this, they grew a volleyball-sized meatball out of meatball of mammoth meat, woolly mammoth meat, and they shipped it to Amsterdam, where it was baked and blowtorched, and reportedly, quote, had a totally unique and new aroma. So, what do you think of that?
You can't make this stuff up, Dave.
Can't make it up. They got genetic material from a woolly mammoth. They filled in the blanks where they had spaces missing with elephant DNA, implanted it on this sheep cell in the lab. Now, they didn't stick it inside a sheep walking around. And this thing grew almost to the size of the volleyball. The question is, why did they ship it to Amsterdam?
That is really creepy. That is, yeah.
I mean, don't they have ovens in Australia? I don't get it.
But maybe they needed a special verification.
They said nobody was really going to eat it because they weren't sure whether it would be safe to eat or not. But, you know, they're kind of...
That's creeping
you know,
me
it's,
out.
It's
you know?
proof of concept, you know, where, you know, there's several companies working on making artificial meat, you know, like these Unburgers and stuff like that. They're growing the material in the laboratory or in a factory, rather than growing the animals and then slaughtering the animals.
Okay.
So it has a lot of potential upside for this.
Have He probably haven't seen it, but on the recent weeks, they've been showing on the Sci-Fi Channel, Soylent Green.
Oh, the old classic.
They've been showing that. They've been showing that, and I said to myself, "Huh, isn't that interesting? With all the stuff that's going on, it's like that one that at the time, and it, of course, it ends with him screaming, they're making Soylent Green out of bodies
and a grandpa,
and the movie. No, he goes and commits himself. He commits suicide, but the policeman in that movie. But all this stuff is really creepy. I mean, creepy. Don't you think? With the computers that can start writing their own code.
I think the whole AI thing is way creepier than growing laboratory meat. not to say that this is kind of creepy too.
I would throw that out there to whoever may be listening and having a comment. What's the creepiest to you between those two choices? That'd be funny.
Tell us what you think is creepier.
Yeah, what is worse? What you know? Yeah. I don't know. Anyhow, that's just my thoughts. So sometimes I try not to pay any attention to that stuff, but now it's hard to believe anything anymore. So we'll see. What's going on with that. So, hey, I was thinking. Otherwise, we're good, huh?
Otherwise, we're good. Yeah. Hey, I got a movie review here. Not a movie review. New TV show started again, Succession. And I've talked about the series Succession on HBO.
I think you did mention that.
The new season just started. I just watched the first episode. As always, a great story, great acting, great writing. It's the most dysfunctional and the richest family on the planet, I think, at the same time.
The most dysfunctional and richest.
Well, they're like multi-billionaires. This is like a Rupert Murdoch empire, publishing and all kind of stuff.
And I kind of always thought that when they got that rich, they did. It was always bizarre.
It's bizarre, yeah. And of course, the father's running the show, and he's got four kids, and they're always scheming against each other and against dad. That's disgusting. You know, it's fun. Hey, and well, I just finished a nice book. I got a book recommendation for you.
All right.
Or for somebody. I don't know if you'll like it or not. It's called I'm Thinking of Ending Things. It's by Canadian author Ian Reid. It was published in 2016. And the book has been, it's called either, you know, some people call it a psychological thriller, which was what I call it, or horror fiction. And it's about this young woman who's got, she's got these doubts about her relationship with her new boyfriend. They've known each other for a couple months. But nevertheless, she takes a road trip with him to visit his parents. I really can't, I know this is crazy, but I really can't tell you much more about the book without kind of giving too much away. But it's four out of five stars. I'll tell you, it's the best psychological thriller that I've read since Double Bind by Chris Pajalian.
The Plowman. You raved about the Plowman.
The Plowman. I like the Plowman better, but this was really a think piece here.
Because the Plowman is about a psychotic serial killer and I did download a sample of that. To get a savor for that, and I said to myself, these are real you awake at night.
When I read when I read the Plowman, I thought, why, what a great movie this would be. And it turns out they are making a movie, or they were making a movie out of it. I think it got stalled during COVID or something like that, so I don't know if they ever finished it or not.
You sound like books that if you read them at night under a dim lamp and a dish would fall in the kitchen.
Yeah, it's all over.
It'd go right to the ceiling.
The weird thing is this, I'm Thinking of Anything's book was also made into a movie, which I didn't know. And I also don't see how they could make that into a movie. I don't see how. So I guess I'm going to have to watch it. But I'd say it cannot be as good as the book.
Yeah, the books are always the best, especially if you want, it's a real thriller. The movies sometimes are okay, but if you read the book first, I always think the book is much more, has much more impact. Name of the book again for people who are like this.
I'm Thinking of Ending Things.
There you go.
She's thinking of breaking up the relationship with the boyfriend. I'm Thinking of Ending Things. I got a little bit of Ukraine news here. I got a story from Hobuck Tom, one of the bike boys, sent me a really interesting story about Ukraine trying to get three Russian fighter pilots to defect, along with their planes, of course. It's a long story. I'm going to put a link to it. It's a real kind of a spy thriller. You know, it's like who's zooming who kind of story, but it's a true story. There's no clear ending to this whole thing, but it's just a fascinating read. So thanks to Tom for this.
It came out like a news story?
Yeah, there? It's a news story. He found it in Yahoo News. You know, like these Russian fighter planes. It's not a one person plane. So you got a crew. You got to figure out what you're going to do with them, and you got to fool the crew. You got families at home. Oh, and they were offering to pay these guys $1 million each to do this. Okay. And so you got all kind of things going on. I mean, it's good enough. You could make a movie out of this. This would be an interesting movie.
You just need a writer to figure out how to end it.
Life imitating art.
Huh? I'm telling you. Anyhow. You know how my mind goes. I'm off on a tangent now.
I think your mind is about gone here.
Yeah.
For that reason, I think we're just going to have to call it a day.
We will call it a day. This is Old Buck Dale saying thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.
And this is Old Buck Dave right behind him. Take care, folks. Talk to you next time. Be safe.